everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who's really in the St. Patrick's Day spirit today.
Mm-hmm.
That cool green shirt.
It's pretty nice. Yeah, never had a green shirt before, and here we are.
How do you feel about it?
It's a little contrived, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but yeah, it washes you out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, appreciate it.
I wanted to wait until we were recording to say that. let's see. What do I? Oh, my lights are off. My colored lights are off tonight.
I see that. Yeah,
you've probably been wondering why.
But you can tell me. I'll listen.
Well, I assume the YouTube masses are wondering why, and it's because, you know, here's what I decided. Maybe I don't think it's my old age. I don't know what it is. It's probably not my age. But sometimes when we get done recording this, I turn off the pink lights and I turn off my ring light, and my eyes hurt so bad because of the way they've strained for so long in the dark at this bright screen. And I thought maybe it's, I don't know, maybe there's like a chemical in the air or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is attracted to pink light.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I turned it off, and we'll see how tonight goes. But my eyes feel great so far, and normally they don't feel good this good already in this part.
I mean, art is pain, but if you want to have a little less pain, we'll have a little less art. That's fine.
I'm good with that. That's a good trade for me. I have very low pain tolerance. My threshold is
not
rock
bluffing
bottom.
Me out of this podcast. Can you turn your room lights to green? For the occasion,
or are they broken? I could get the other. These don't change color, but I do have the green one, obviously, and it's in the girls' room now. I could sneak in there and risk waking them up.
Probably should
while I rip it off their wall. Uh-huh. I'd feel sort of okay about that because it's Aaron's night to do bedtime.
Could you just record really quiet in there, maybe? Yeah. Just like
I think so. Pretty good at being quiet.
Patrick, stop being so funny. Everyone's asleep in here.
I'm trying not to laugh. I'm only not laughing because the girls are asleep.
Abraham!
You do know my comedy weakness. do you have some sort of like cushion you could put underneath your cup, like a coaster or something? Because every time you set it down, it goes...
Hang on. Let me try this.
Okay, try that.
Is that better?
No, that's worse.
Is that worse? Here, let me try this. Is that better?
It's different.
That's on the washing machine. Is that better?
Yeah, I can tell. It's different.
What else do we got? Nothing. Oh, I have a mouse
pad. Got a cat.
I have a mouse pad here. Hang on. Listen to this.
Oh.
Anything?
Quiet as a pin.
Excellent. Great. I'll stay over there with the mouse. That's the one. I don't use that part anymore.
Yeah, you'll go and knock over one of those for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a touch screen. Nope.
Is it? Because no. It freaked out when you did that because everything froze for a second. So your computer doesn't like that. Please don't do that anymore. Oh, boy. My face is so red tonight. Someday I'll figure out what is the combination of alcohol and what food that makes my face do this so much. Mm-hmm. It's not today, obviously, but...
Do you eat a lot of lobster? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Do you not?
Not on Mondays, no.
I have a normal routine of lobster bisque for breakfast, lobster nuggets for lunch, and lobster shell for dinner. I eat one whole lobster every day.
Whichever one whatever lobster shells the kids won't eat, I'll eat them for them.
It's more than you might expect.
Mm-hmm. You dip them in ranch, it's not really that bad.
Not any worse. there it is. Okay, now we can start. That's what I was waiting for.
Oh, man. That's great. Baby had a big one.
Hey, by the way, speaking of things that we're disappointed in each other, Maple. I was not there for this, so I can't speak to it.
You're just gonna blame your child. Yeah, I wasn't there, but I'm gonna blame my child.
Yeah, in a sense. so I can't. I can't speak one way or the other. Is what I'll say.
That's fair.
Maple saw Moana 2 today.
Ooh.
And she said it's the greatest movie of all time,
mm-hmm.
way better than Moana 1.
Right.
And I quote, not nearly as scary.
Sounds like somebody's knocking extra serving of lobster shells tonight.
So I wonder if that part's going to make it in the show or if no one's going to have any idea what the fuck you're talking about. anyway, so do you want to explain yourself? Because my 5-year-old loved it and was not nearly as scared as you were.
You know what? Wake her up. Wake her the fuck up. Get her in here.
Okay, hold on a second. What? That's what she sounds like. Mm-hmm. What?
I was sound asleep.
Are you drinking soda?
Mother had put me to bed and I was restful.
Mother had given me a bowl of porridge and I had finally succumbed to dreams.
I had finally asked my last question of the day and now here we are, awake on the
now
podcast.
Now I'll answer your questions, I suppose. What questions do you have for me, strange man? Why is your skin so sallow against the color of that shirt? She's a real ball buster, that Maple. Anyway, you're sticking by your review, your critique of Moana 2.
Absolutely. No good. Yes. Yeah. Have you seen Moana 2?
Well, as I preface this, as I said in advance, no. Mm-hmm. So I can't weigh in on this. I'm excited to choose sides.
Okay.
I'll set some time during tomorrow, my work day. Say, so I got to move these meetings. I got a real important thing to do. Let's watch Moana 2. I will say, and I heard her say this, and I didn't register, but Aaron called it out. At one point, Maple said, because I was like making dinner and like working and stuff, so I wasn't watching, but I was there, and Maple kept saying, like, this is a great movie. I love this movie. Like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The whole time thinking, boy, Patrick is really an idiot. Mm-hmm. There was one point where she said, this movie is so good. It's almost like a TV show.
Oh.
And then Aaron called out. She's like, hey, wait, didn't Patrick say on the podcast that it like that was kind of a bug, not a feature? So she did call that out. So you got some legs there.
Okay. So they're pandering to the 12-minute attention span of children.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm surprised, frankly, that you don't have that. Maybe for a long time I would have sworn otherwise. Anything else going on this week? You're a single dad today.
I am. Yep. Amy has sailed away one time zone over from here, and she'll be back in a few days. So we're just single parenting it for a little while. Might take the kids to the grocery store, try and get some sympathy from some
babes.
Yeah, from the babes.
From some babes. Yeah. Yeah, how many of them do you try to squeeze into the top part of the cart?
The babes? Oh, none of them. No, they scream. They really don't like it.
Learn my lesson. Yeah. Fool me once. Boy, but fool me seven times. Mm-hmm. That's the police's problem.
Yeah.
Apparently. That's cool. That's a big plan. When does she get back?
About 3 days. 3 days? Yeah.
Man, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some would say too long.
But yeah, I would. I'll just say it. I would. She doesn't listen to this, right? No. I was going, so speaking of people being alone with their children for several days, so Aaron was, because I was out of town this weekend, and I took a bunch of students down to North Carolina from here in Virginia for this retreat. And so a colleague and I, we drive down, and we rent this 15-person passenger van, and we've got 9 students and 2 of us, and we're driving 6 hours to North Carolina outside of Asheville. And we're trucking along. It's fine. And like, I'm watching the gas meter.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it means.
The gas meter.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Gasometer. Is that what it's called?
These are all correct words for that. Yeah.
I'm watching the gasometer and you know, it's getting closer to the E, which stands for EEP, better get gas. Mm-hmm. But it's not there. We got space, but we go through like a bit of Tennessee, and then we cut down into North Carolina through this Highway 40.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I'm not familiar with Highway 40. I don't know anything about Highway 40. I am familiar with the fact that the Asheville area was recently, just devastated.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. So we get on Highway 40. We're going in. Apparently, Highway 40 just opened.
Oh, okay.
As in last week.
Wow.
Because it had been kind of wrecked by the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at this point, we don't know anything about it. So we're on the road, the gasometer, so it's getting a little low, but there's exits everywhere.
Sure.
So we're like, we'll just push it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we get in this road. The road instantly becomes one lane.
Okay.
Each way.
Right.
Of this, like, 6-lane highway.
Mm-hmm.
And not just one lane, but also, it's not like there are, you know, like, cones or pylons or anything. It's like there are cement you know, walls on one side.
Right.
And then like a raised ridge on the other side. So you can't, they're locking you in. You're locked in.
Yeah. It's more of a chute. You're in a luge. You're luging.
I'm in
a luge.
I'm in a luge. I'm in the slow luge, the slowest luge you've ever seen. And there's a lot of traffic and it's very slow. So we pass this exit off which there are several gas stations.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we pass it. And as soon as we pass the exit, two things happen. Number one, we come to a stop.
Oh,
because traffic is so bad.
Right.
Number two, the gas light comes on.
Oh, but were you checking the gasometer?
I was checking the gasometer.
Right.
What I like to do is say we have plenty of gas until the gas light comes on.
Right.
And it's like emergency situation. We had to get off the interstate now.
Uh-huh.
Now, very Aaron's binary. Always like...
Very binary situation. Yeah.
I'm a man of extremes.
Yeah. We're totally fine. We're fucked.
Yeah. Yep. Now, that's not how it works, really, in reality, is what I'm told.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's grades and stuff. And Aaron's always like, when the light comes on, Aaron, I'm like, oh my God, we got to get gas. And she's like, you've got 30 miles or something. Right. And I'm like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably right. But so the gas light comes on. And I'm like, oh, fuck. We're standing still. We can't get off. Like, okay, we'll see. So I take out the phone. Where's the next exit? Because we have passed this one.
Right.
We're too late. I can see the gas stations are very close to me.
Yes.
But I cannot reach them.
Right. Yes. Because of the luge.
Because of the luge.
Right.
And so I check my phone. The next gas station, as we wind this road through the Smoky Mountains, is in 47 miles.
Okay. Usually that light comes on at lower than 47 miles, generally. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, so I'm starting to be a little concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And then... The van does this thing where once your light comes on, it flips to tell you how many miles you have left.
That's very helpful. Not anxiety inducing.
Not at all. No, it's both. Yeah. Both helpful. Mm-hmm. Yes. And anxiety inducing. No. So it says you have 60 miles left.
That's easy. That's a lot more than 47.
And I'm thinking, okay, we can do this.
Right. 13 miles to spare. Now, mind you, you're getting pretty poor mileage at the moment.
Well,
because of the not moving.
Also, mind you, it's pretty warm. So at this point, at the beginning point, I do have air conditioning on.
Okay, yes.
I hear that also does not help.
Yeah, it can detract. Sure.
Yeah. So we're sitting there. We're sitting still and just burning gas. Mm. And I'm watching, as we're sitting still, I'm watching that number go 60, 59, 58. Mm. As we are not keeping track with that mileage.
Right.
Suddenly, it slowly starts to move. So here's the situation. So now we're inching through the Smoky Mountains in this chute on this highway. On all sides of us are giant, giant holes in the highway from the hurricane that have not yet been repaired.
Right.
So that's unsettling on a different plane.
Right. Sure.
To me. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's safe. Whatever. They wouldn't open it probably. But it's like you're seeing like these huge... You could fit three of our vans into some of these holes on the sides of the highway that are like 3 feet from where your van is.
Yes.
Don't like that. So we're inching through the mountains up and down, and there's all these semis, so we're going extra slow. And I'm like, I got my phone in one hand, I got the wheel in the other hand. I'm just like fucking clocking this. And as we go, it's just that gap is getting smaller and smaller. And I am in a full-blown panic because it's not just that we might run out of gas.
Uh-huh.
It's not just that we might run out of gas like many miles from a gas station.
Right.
It is mostly that I am in a van with nine of my students, and if we run out of gas and get stranded in this chute that we're backing up all this traffic and cannot move, that is the worst possible thing I will have to deal with my entire life is the next 4 years of these students reminding me that this has happened.
Especially as those kids try to push the van straight up the Smoky Mountains with you... Like hunched over the steering wheel.
Yeah. And this was like a nerdy conference. So it's not like they're not.
So you're going to need all of them to push.
I'm going to need all nine. Yeah. And so we're going. So I'm checking and it's got, and it was a very harrowing, like 30 minutes of my life. We eventually got out and broke into this exit that brought us, thank God, directly to a gas station. By the time we rolled into the gas station, the little marker said 3 miles of gas left.
Hey.
So we could have gone a little further. But I was just like, Oh my God. The most harrowing experience of my life. You don't seem to care very much about it, but
I mean,
you're not a teacher of college students.
Yeah. I'm glad Thank you survived.
It's the humiliation in front of students is mostly the thing. Mm-hmm. Amy would understand. Can we get Amy on the phone?
No, absolutely not.
She would.
She's having a lot better time than we are right now.
What's she doing?
Anything else?
All right. Well, I guess we'll end that story and just do the podcast. You want to hear a ghost story?
I do. Actually, I just got a text message from my father. Oh. So just so you're aware of the things I'm being asked to do.
Let's see if there's a, I don't know. I'm going to randomly push a button here to see. Maybe there's like a Patrick's dad song. I got to label these.
Maybe just a news update. There's a news update. Boy, that's not the right one. Did my father just come through the wall like the Kool-Aid man or something?
All right, hold on. Let's try this one.
Drake Hotel, Chicago.
No, that was from the live show. Where?
There we go. In late breaking news from my father, he has texted me to let me know that Channel 5 no longer works on his television.
I have so many questions.
No, that's all. That's all the information I have.
I don't think we have time to even ask them, much less answer them. That is a big one, though, because that's one of the terrestrial ones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's
image is very, very harrowing, very terrifying for him. So,
oh boy.
Anyway,
right. This has been another episode of Patrick's Dad Has a Text. Well, now that we've got that settled, are you ready for a ghost story?
Yeah, I am. Absolutely.
All right. Our national parks suite continues this week. Last week, we had Joshua Tree with our friend Graham Parsons. Today, we got something different.
I would hope.
Yeah.
It'd be real shitty if we did the same one again.
I will say that I started researching a ghost story while I was on the retreat. I was like, this is a good time to sit and avoid programming and just sitting here and do my own work. And I got about halfway through my story here. And then Jeremy was like, oh, I have the cut for the next episode ready if you want to listen. I was like, yeah, I'll take a break and listen. And as I listened to that episode, that's when I was reminded that I said we were doing a national park suite. So I took half the notes for something that has nothing at all to do with that. And I thought, God damn it. So I had to go back in and restart. And now that's how we got this story. And it starts like this. There is a cemetery inside Yosemite National Park.
Okay.
Do you know that?
I did not know. Is that where Yosemite Sam is buried? Or?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And the tombstone is just two revolvers. And in honor of him, once a day at noon exactly, his favorite time because he loved lunch, they just fire little bullets. Mm-hmm.
And then the graveyard slowly grew around that tombstone, oddly.
Not sure how that happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know. there is... Have you ever been to Yosemite?
I have not, no. I haven't really done anything out west that was fun, at least.
Well, that's hurtful to say as someone who's been on a road trip with you.
I think. I've thrown up in the desert before.
That was well, I thought it was kind of fun. So the cemetery there is called Yosemite Cemetery, which is not surprising. Sometimes it's called Pioneer Cemetery. It was built in the 1870s and is located on the western edge of Yosemite Village. There are 45 people buried there.
Oh, pretty exclusive. Okay.
It is exclusive. Only 36 of them have headstones.
Okay.
So you may be wondering, how do they find the other nine? Not part of this show.
I'm assuming it's like the ground radar from Jurassic Park. They just walk around and just thump. I'm like, oh, look, there's one right there.
Now, the impact of that did shatter those bones to dust. So I guess we're one fewer now than we were before. One of those 36 headstones is a big chunk of granite that marks the grave of a man named Galen Clark. And here is... For your viewing pleasure, that big old chunk of granite.
That is a good-sized chunk of granite. I wouldn't say big old. It's not a boulder. I'm imagining a national park, big chunk of granite. I'm imagining Boulder. This is not Boulder.
You don't think it's Boulder?
No, you could push this over. This is pushover bowl.
All right. Yeah. I want you to keep that in mind.
I will.
We'll come back to this. Thanks. God, what a dick. We're going to come back to that. You're going to feel pretty stupid.
Okay.
Galen was born on March 28th, 1814 in Shipton, which is in Lower Canada.
Okay. Isn't everything in Lower Canada?
I have a second note here that says Lower Canada, question mark. I think everything except Sourdough is in Lower Canada. Yeah. I don't know. So, but this was British-controlled Canada at this point. We've talked about British-controlled Canada before.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Laveau, etc. When Galen was still young, he joined the westward migration, and he moved to Waterloo, Missouri.
Yeah.
1836. Do you know Waterloo?
I know Waterloo, Illinois, not Waterloo, Missouri.
Yeah, I think the Missouri one is near Kansas City.
Oh, okay, that would make sense.
Yeah. The Illinois one is... by St. Louis.
It is, yeah, just on the other side of the river.
They have a car dealership, I think. I want to say a car dealership.
They got a little bit of everything over there, I guess. It's a big commuter town for St. Louis. It's a big, big bedroom community over there. So
a little bit of everything, huh?
Mm-hmm, indeed.
They have a water park?
Everything.
Lascivious wink. But this is in Waterloo, Missouri, so he moves there. And not long after, he meets a woman named Rebecca McCoy. They get married 3 years later in 1839. Life is rolling along. They have five children.
In 3 years?
No, sorry. They got married 3 years later. After they got married, then they had the children.
Okay.
They had Irish triplets. They had five children. Their names were Joseph Locke. Clark was their last name. Joseph, right. Joseph Locke. Mary Ann. Kaylin Alonzo.
Oh, where the fuck did that come from?
Saucy. Yeah, I think we all know that one's probably not Galen's.
Yeah.
Salon McCoy and Elvira, Missouri.
The inventor of burlesque performance. I don't know if you knew that. That was... good for her. Elvira, Missouri.
Elvira, Missouri Clark.
Oh, man.
That's a hell of a name.
Anytime you say a name, you're like, that name is too dumb for roller derby. Then you know you got a good name.
Then you know you're talking about someone who either was born in Missouri or Florida.
Yeah.
For like 100% of the time.
Do you and Aaron ever do that? Try and come up with like good roller derby names for each other?
No, but that is a pastime we should probably take up. Yeah. That sounds pretty fun. Yeah. I assume you and Amy do, because I know you
always,
and Amy.
Always.
Any favorites you want to share?
Probably Tequila Mockingbird. That's a pretty good one.
Yep, that gets the spit out drink stamp of approval.
And this one, it's better written out, but you probably get the point of it. Intrusive Thought, THOT. That's another pretty good one.
That's good. All right. I don't know if I can top that. I don't know. This is not a game I should introduce.
I should. We've been working on these for years. I wouldn't worry about trying to top them.
Yeah. Okay, now give us some of your worst ones.
Oh, let's see. The Banana Hammock Republic. That was pretty bad.
All right. so we're done with that segment. So they have these five kids. The first of which was Elvira, Missouri, but I wanted to save her name for the end because I thought
obviously, that absolutely,
little punch there. Now, somehow, after having five children, Rebecca still manages to die young, according to the notes. So she dies. Galen he takes it pretty hard, and he decides the best way to cope is to go and seek his fortune in the California Gold Rush.
Oh, okay. Drag all five children across the Rockies.
Well, I don't know. I didn't find documentation that suggested he brought them.
Oh,
I didn't find documentation to suggest he didn't bring them.
Right, but nothing definitive. But
it doesn't seem like the kind of thing you're like, hey, family, yeah. Let's go to the Gold Rush.
Especially when one of them is Elvira. Like, you're not dragging Elvira to California for the gold rush.
Hey, speaking of Elvira, so on this trip that I was on with my students, and I'm now, you know, just a reminder to everyone listening, I now live in Central Virginia. Mm-hmm. One of my students was wearing this giant hoodie, and on the back of it was the face of Svengoolie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I said, hey, is that a Svengoolie hoodie? And she goes, I don't know. I said, it is. That was a rhetorical question in some ways. I said, do you know who Svengoolie is? And she said, no. I was at...
I hate this generation so much.
And she said, no, I was at an event and I saw this hoodie. Like it was like some part of the event was some like thrifting pop up.
Okay.
It's like, I saw it and it was really cool. So I bought it and I said, oh, well, let me tell you about Svengoolie. I started off, you know, I'm not taking the cues here that I should not be, you know, that they don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because I'm like, you know, the last place I lived outside of Chicago was Berwyn. And I don't know if you know this,
Svengoolie hates it.
But he's from Berwyn and doesn't like it. And they were all like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, I should impress him further. I say, and so when I was living there every year, they would do this big Svengoolie festival and they would like bring like his hearse to this lot and he would show up there and all these people would be there and he would do a whole bit. And it was only like two blocks from my house. And the way these kids looked at me was devastating. They could not have cared a single ounce less. One of them wearing a Svengoolie hoodie was so uninterested in this story.
Like you just described meeting Dwight Eisenhower or something like that. Like, I don't care, man.
Oh man. It was tough. And then one of the students in the back said, oh, I've seen Svengoolie. And I said, wait a minute, you've seen the show Svengoolie? Because now I'm differently confused. Yep. And she said, yeah, it's on MeTV and my grandma watches it. I thought, fuck off. And then actually I got a closer look at the kid's hoodie and there's a little MeTV logo at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough. Mm. That's how I watched MASH.
Yeah.
Anyway. So... California Gold Rush. Mm. So he heads out with or without his kids. He heads out west in 1854. Now, we've talked about the Gold Rush before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an ITAG fan or if you're maybe even just an NFL fan joining us for the first time, you probably know the big year of the Gold Rush was 1849. Mm-hmm. The 49ers are a real thing. Mm-hmm. Now, Galen's going out there in 54.
Right.
So he's
hoping. Late. He's hoping. He's hoping there's still a little bit of gold left, maybe at the bottom of the river. Maybe.
I was trying to remember, and I didn't do the research to check this out, but this might have even been the time where people had left there to go
up to Canada,
the Yukon. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
For that one. So he's way behind. But, you know, he's doing his best.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the whorehouses are still open and stuff, so it's probably okay.
And more desperate. Prices are lower than ever.
Yeah.
Because they just. So he's doing okay. May not surprise you to learn he doesn't find any gold.
Mm.
He only finds tuberculosis.
Oh, well. It's gold in its own right.
So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor is like, I have bad news for you. I'd say you got about 6 months to live.
Oh, no.
So this is taking a bad turn for Galen. Doctor tells him, there's not much I can do for you, but like, what I hear is outside is good.
Oh,
maybe go outside and do some stuff outside.
Okay. So this has got to be tough. It's got to be tough. You got tuberculosis because you got some doctors saying thick walls, stay inside in the thick walls.
Thick northwestern walls.
Right. Other doctors are like, you got to get below the ground. No fresh air. Just gotta breathe everybody else's dank air. And then you got some doctors that are like, no, outside, sunshine, fresh air. That'll do it. And what do you do? What do you do?
Let's ask RFK Jr. see what he thinks. In some ways, we're going back to that right now, and I think it's kind of exciting.
What you want to do? It's beef tallow. That is the cure for tuberculosis. Beef tallow.
But only in candle form. You must put the beef tallow candle in your mouth. Point it up. You light it. You let the wax drip into your throat. That's how you beat tuberculosis. So he's like, you should go outside. So Galen's like, I guess I'll try it. So he moves to the mountains of Eastern California.
Mm, okay.
Okay, pretty close to the like Nevada border. Mm-hmm. And here's a quote from Galen. I went to the mountains to take my chances of dying or growing better, which I thought were about even.
Mm-hmm. At least you can do it somewhere pretty.
Totally. I mean, hey, if I was told you have like 1 month to live, I would spend it with my kids and my wife. But if I were single and or left my kids back.
If I'd already left on the other side of the Rockies.
Then, so that I could get tuberculosis from a prostitute, I would definitely be like, I'm going to nature. So he goes out there and he loves it. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, obviously it's incredibly undeveloped at this point. He's loving it. Now, Northern California, which is where he is not. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, I'm sure that's kind of known as like the home of the giant redwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know this, but out east in the Wawona area, Galen finds what we now refer to as the Mariposa Grove of giant sequoias.
Oh, the big boys.
The big boys are not just for Northern Californians anymore. Also for Eastern Californians. I'll show you a picture of our boy here. Here is Galen.
Man, that is a big old tree. How many Galens would you need to lock arms to go around that tree? I'm saying 40 Galens. 40 Galens around that tree.
I like this new unit of measurement quite a lot, actually.
I'm not entirely sure why he has a musket. Was he hunting this tree?
I do. Do you have any idea how many fucking wild animals are out in Eastern California in 1854 or whatever? I don't know why he doesn't have 9 muskets.
It's a very scary tree. It's a building-sized tree, and the roots don't go all the way down to the ground.
Yeah, that is the scariest part. One of these is a cave.
Those are grizzly bear holes. Those are absolute grizzly bear holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't. Yeah, so the musket. I don't even know if the musket helps at that point. I might just use a musket to put my own mouth if a grizzly bear comes crawling out of there.
That's a little self anti-preservation, I think, is what they call that. But that's our boy. So he sees trees like this, like a whole grove of them, and of course he's amazed.
Mm-hmm.
I would be amazed today, and I know they exist. He probably had no fucking clue. He's like, "Holy shit, this is incredible."
Imagine seeing a redwood if you don't know what a book is. Like that's,
and if you don't know how many books you could make from a redwood, boy. So he's amazing. He's like, "This is unbelievable. I love it here. This is just so incredible." And he thinks, "Well, I guess like I'll just be here until I die."
Mm-hmm.
And until then, I'll just spend my time telling people about these cool big trees, which is a great thing to do because I want to see these trees. I've never seen a big tree.
Mm-hmm. They need advocates, apparently. So why not? Maybe that'll be me.
Yeah. If I can get 39 more of me's, we could just really save this tree.
Now, I did leave the other 5 of me's back in Missouri. I don't want them. I don't need them out here.
No, 39 like cool me's, you know what I'm saying? 39 me's who are willing to get tuberculosis from a prostitute. That's what I'm looking for here. My kids didn't have the stones. Elvira, maybe. Yeah.
But 39 me's who are not creatures of the night will need to come out here.
So he wants to share the big trees with people. So he starts writing letters to Congress. He's telling them, like, hey, these trees are pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be cool if we could protect them.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, this is a ludicrous idea.
Yes.
And again, today it's a ludicrous idea.
Yeah, we look into it real nicely.
Yeah, there's a big chunk of time in between where it's like a good idea that's normal and makes sense.
Yeah.
At this point, this is never, like, no one had ever advocated for trees before. So they start off by kind of ignoring him. But eventually he convinces one of California's senators, a man named John Conness, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. John,
we'll go with it.
Conness? You sure?
Yeah.
He's on board. Finally. And so Galen then eventually helps write and then pass federal legislation to protect this Wawona area.
Wow. Okay.
And God, for so many reasons, I do hesitate to share this information with you, but I for the sake of a complete story, mm-hmm. I will also add mm-hmm. this was called the Yosemite Grant.
Okay.
Because the Yosemite people were living in the area. Mm-hmm. And it was signed into law by President Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
Who I am sure was fully clothed. Time signing.
I'm sure they were like, oh no, we don't have a quill to sign this with. Does anybody else have something rock hard we can use to sign this deck?
So, does anyone else have anything rock, as hard
Abraham
as
Lincoln's a like, I got two of them feather. Right here. Need any glass cut as well?
Every once in a while, someone new will come to the show and they'll send me a message like on social media or whatever, and they'll I can pinpoint the range of episodes that they're in because they will say, and this happens at least a few times a year at this point, where they say, hey, what's the deal with Naked Abraham? And I say, well, you didn't go so mm-hmm. far back as to go to the Abraham Lincoln episode, but you've gone far enough where you've had enough Naked Abe references that you're feeling uncomfortable. So welcome, friend. Abraham signs a contract. Now, this legislation protects Yosemite Valley, and it also protects specifically the Mariposa Grove of Giant Sequoias for, quote, public use, resort, and recreation to be left inalienable for all time.
Wow. All time.
All time.
It's pretty good.
All the times. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways, that one sentence has a lot more foresight than, I don't know, all of our Constitution. So that's pretty good.
For all time, or until one becomes bored with this document, at which point, please tear it up and shit
upon it. Or until people decide, what are norms? So this is the very first time that a piece of land is ever set aside for preservation and public use by the U.S. government. It set the precedent for Yellowstone eventually to become the first official national park in 1872.
Wow.
They were able to do that because of this. Now, of course, they need someone to watch over this piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
So,
who better to speak for the trees
than the guy who is 140th of the base of a tree, Galen Clark, becomes the official, and his title is Guardian of the Grant.
Wow. So,
pretty good title. I'm going to start calling myself the Guardian of the Pod. Put it on my business cards and maybe on my Mary Baldwin business cards, and people will have questions. So he's Guardian of the Grant. So again, he has tuberculosis. He's probably going to die, but he's like, while I'm alive, I'm going to try to save these. He does save them, and apparently saving them heals his lungs.
Oh, goodness.
Tuberculosis, gone.
And he tells no one.
No, why would he?
100 years would pass until a cure for tuberculosis was found in these very woods.
So he wants to protect the land, but he also wants to share it with people. So he builds a little hotel there, mm-hmm. and he starts a guide service.
Okay.
So a little entrepreneurial, but lest you think he was using this to enrich himself, rest assured, Galen was, quote, a poor businessman. So
how can you fuck up tour the trees that I didn't pay for and are protected by the federal government? How do you lose money on this?
Well, I have one example actually to answer that question, at least in part. There was, I don't know the breadth of his bad decisions, but one of them that was offered was, for example, he always hired way too many guides for the number of guests.
So, I mean, it's trees, man. You put like a little flag in front of each one, and you just kind of go 1, 2, 3, 4 yeah. through the forest.
Yeah, man. I think one guide is more guides than you need, bud.
When your entire endeavor could be replaced by a piece of kite string tied from tree to tree throughout the woods, maybe you're not doing so hot.
Yeah. But he just loved it. You know, he loved the woods. He just wanted to share it with people. He's mm-hmm. just excited. So he does that. Now, eventually he becomes, quote, desperately poor.
But rich.
Tree rich. Exactly. He seems pretty happy. That is important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he got rid of 5 kids. He put 2 time zones between him and his kids. And now he lives off the trees. So yeah,
he lives off the trees and all the hours of sleep he gets every night. And he is a happy man. So the area that he is now stewarding, it sort of bounces around between state and federal control mm-hmm. for a while. Eventually, obviously, it'll become Yosemite National Park. Now, when Galen first takes over, way before it becomes a national park, he spends a lot of time just kind of wandering the area
mm-hmm.
as a good ward of warden of the area mm-hmm. would do.
Yep.
He particularly loves this one piece of flatland on the western side. And he thinks, gosh, you know, I don't know what it is, but this would be a great place to be buried.
Okay.
It's like when you went to that Denny's and you were yes. like, it would be awesome. Someone just, gosh, this Grand Slam is so good. I don't know. Someone could just flush my ashes yeah. down the toilet in the employee restroom. That would just be great. That's another deep cut. I want to guess episode, throw a dart at the board, 47.
Yeah. I wish I remember
probably earlier than that.
I wish I remember which Denny's that was. I need to probably go back to all of them again.
I got a note somewhere just in case Amy ever asks. Now, so he wants to be buried here. I don't know if he may be thinking this like before his consumption is gone. So mm-hmm. maybe it's like an actually pressing thing, like where I want to be buried.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not. But either way, what he does, he goes and gets 6 sequoia seedlings from that grove that he found.
Okay.
And he plants them in this field
mm-hmm.
in a kind of a circle. And in the center of those seedlings, he digs himself a grave.
Okay. Yeah.
Why not?
I can see. Yeah. A lot of people nowadays, if they know they're dying, they'll like make their own arrangements. You know, they'll contact the funeral home and they'll choose the color of the drapes or whatever the fuck. I don't know what
edible arrangements. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the strawberries I want everyone to eat at my funeral. And please make sure this happens.
Please put it right next to my body up on top of the casket. I would love that.
Yeah. So people can come by when they pay their respects, just lean in and take a little. Now, this is a good time to remind you. So this is the chunk of granite
uh-huh.
we talked about earlier.
I see.
This is a giant sequoia.
Oh, okay. All right. So now the perspective is starting to get a little bit different. Sure.
It's not certainly a fully matured giant sequoia, but I will tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Galen was alive in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
This tree is at least 100 years old by the time this is taken, this photo is taken. So this is a gigantic chunk of rock. So apology accepted. Anyway, so he digs his own grave, but then he doesn't die because he's great. Yeah. He's healthy.
He's rejuvenated. Fine. This is exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Wait a second. Exercise and being outside? This is helping the tuberculosis?
What? Huh. Meanwhile, the death toll in that cave, in Mammoth Cave, is just going through the roof. So every day, Galen comes and he waters the seedlings. Well, not every day. You know, he waters them. He tends them. He like, nurtures them, and they grow into real trees. This goes on for 20 years. It'll be 20 years before he actually dies. And so these trees, by the time even he was dead, they're pretty big. But also, his grave is just sitting there open for 20 years.
Right, yes.
The entire time.
Do you tend to the grave? Like, do you...
I don't know.
You water the seedlings and you probably, you know, cut the grass and whatnot. Do you go and, like, tend to the grave, too?
I just don't know. Like, because, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, I did put on a little weight this year. Maybe I should just
trim out
this out a little bit. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it, guys. And maybe in the next year you lose, you know, 20 pounds. You're like, you know what? No, this is too big for me. Yeah. This is and too big. This is grave, a big boy grave. I'm a little
this
boy
for,
now.
This is for me. And I'm going to pad the sides a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Carve it like into an hourglass shape for some reason.
In case you want a Bugs Bunny funeral.
Yeah. I want yeah. just really to accentuate, you know, what I've been working on out here.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like things are going to grow over your body because you're mm-hmm. you're so fertile.
Sure. Yeah.
With your hourglass yeah. figure.
I don't want people to come up to my grave and be like, what fat ass died in this thing? No, I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now do strap me into this girdle and lock it with a key so it cannot come off me for the rest of my life. I'm committed to this idea. So anyway, this goes on for a long time. So, oh, and he also picked out that slab of granite to serve as his tombstone. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine knowing like 20 years before you die? Like, all right, here's where I'm dying. Here's my grave. I already dug it. That rock over there. Yeah. Tombstone. Yeah. Here's where it's like, it's so wild.
Well, and then, like, you know, they carve the birth year in it. Right. And then yeah. they don't put the death year, but probably I would imagine they carve like a couple numbers from the death right. year.
At least
it?
The one.
Yeah. They're, I mean, like obviously, one, like, obviously. That's easy. And then maybe the eight, like that's like, a little yeah, presumptuous. Yeah. And then maybe if things start to, like if the tuberculosis comes back, maybe they put the next number in there too. And
it's a not, you know, it's yeah. like, it's getting close to nine. Uh-huh. They're like, we're going to put a one yeah. in here. Just, you know, we can turn that into a nine.
I'm not going to put the serifs on the top and the bottom because we don't know yet. We don't know. But right. we kind of know.
Yeah. You know, the one guy who comes over and he's like, puts a three in the very last spot. Yeah. It's coming for you. Oh, no.
I have one goal in life now, to die before that year. Make you look like a fucking idiot.
So, anyway, so he's doing this whole thing in the woods. Now, in September 1857, he goes on a long tramp, is the quote,
mm-hmm.
to a small lake about 8 miles away called Grouse Lake.
Mm-hmm. He gets to the lake. Everybody just complains up there the whole time. They just complain about getting to the lake. They complain when they get at the lake. They complain the walk home from the lake.
Yeah. Very they negative. Complain at the lake.
Yeah,
exactly. They turn to the lake and they complain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really absorbs that energy for sure. Your cat's got a grouse.
I have a cat taking apart a Lego grousing. Statue over there.
What kind of statue? We got what Legos you got over there?
Like a whole, maybe it's not a cat. I don't know. I'll see after the show's over.
So Galen gets to the lake and he sits down to take a little rest. Now while he's resting, he hears what he called, quote, a distant wailing cry, somewhat like a puppy when lost.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And he thinks, well, that's probably a puppy and it's lost.
Right.
Of course. And he thinks it's probably a dog that belongs to the Indians.
Yes. Yeah. It has,
again,
it,
this is,
it has that cry to it of an Indian yeah. dog.
It was less about the you know, kind of, the twang in the, in the puppy's voice and, less about the dialect and more about the fact that the Native Americans are kind of all around and, mm-hmm. and they had right. dogs.
And, yeah. And famously, you know, don't coddle them. So they just love them to cry, I guess.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's mean.
I mean, I you know, again, it's not me. This is just stereotypes.
Okay, so, so he assumes it's a dog that belongs to a Native American, because of course there's still a lot of them around, mm-hmm. and oh my God, so they're there. And I will say that they're also like, while they're clearly watching these like fucking these white people come in and be like, we have to save this land. What would happen if we don't save this land? Yeah. And thinking like, yeah, fucking, we were fucking yeah. doing that, sons of bitches.
You are saving the land from you. Do you not see the irony of this?
And I'm not sure it'll work. So he doesn't think too much about it. So he goes on. But the wailing does continue for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it stops or he gets too far out of range to hear it. And Galen is, you know, he continues on his walk. That evening, he comes across some Native Americans at their hunting camp. And I guess they either have or establish immediately a good relationship because Galen sits them for a while. And he asks if they lost a dog back by Grouse, like by this lake, because he heard one crying out there. And the Indians tell him, oh, that's not a dog. That's a ghost.
Oh.
And Galen says, I'm pretty sure it's a dog. And they say, ha ha, no, fucker, it's a ghost. And the story is that a while back, a boy from their own tribe had drowned in that lake.
Oh.
And now, anytime someone goes past the lake, the boy will cry out for help. And that's the sound, the strange wailing moan is the sound of him crying for help. But they also told Galen, don't go back to that lake. And if you hear it, do not go into the water.
Okay.
Do not go near the water looking for it. It's not safe because anytime someone goes to help, the boy grabs him by the leg and drags him down into the water and drowns him.
Oof. No wonder everybody complains about that lake.
No one just called Grouse Lake. Nothing but complaints. Worth noting, Galen didn't seem to believe this story. Though in his journal, he did write that the Native Americans he met absolutely did believe it. But he was not so sure. But walking past the lake again some days later, he did hear the cries again, and he decided to look in earnest for some the source, whether it's like an animal or whatever. But he never found anything but strangely shifting shadows in the lake. And if you go to Grouse Lake today, you might hear the call of the drowned boy too. Hikers still claim to hear it all the time. And it's certainly true that people have fallen into the water and drowned, even though it's not clear how that happened. Because it's not a particularly big or particularly dangerous lake.
Right, yeah. Just like a big, still, high mountain lake, basically.
It's a small, still sort of mountain, cool lake. and it's look, scientifically speaking, hard to say they weren't dragged down to their death by a ghost. Galen eventually goes on to live in a spiritualist community in Santa Barbara.
It's what we all aspire to.
And he dies on March 24th, 1910. And of course he was buried in that grave he dug for himself 20 years before.
Man, and that guy that chiseled in the 1-8, he feels so fucking stupid at this point.
Yeah, well, he's like, hey, you know what? That's out of my pocket. I'll fix this. I took a gamble. I respect that. He's buried about 8 miles away from Grouse Lake, far enough that he can no longer hear the screams of the drowned boy ghost. And if you go to Yosemite today, you can see both Galen Clark's grave and also the lake where there is a drowned boy screaming at you.
Although, to be honest, that's kind of a weird reason to go to Yosemite. I mean, there's a lot of really neat stuff there.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. People who listen to our podcast, it's kind of their kink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are you going there for like the good postcard shot with like the mountain in the background? No. I'm going here to listen to the cries of a drowned child, actually. Can you tell me? Can you show me on the map here?
Are there picturesque mountains?
Yeah. Is that, interesting.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Well, if we have time, I guess we'll go. So that is the story of the ghost of Yosemite National Park, the ghost of Grouse Lake in Yosemite National Park, a Native American child who will drag you down to your death. Also, Galen Clark is there.
And Yosemite Sam. So...
Tarnation! Ah, hates of these Native American poor ghosts. Oh boy. And if you like this ghost story, you'll like all our ghost stories over on Ghost Plus,
where we do things much dumber than this.
If you can believe it, boy. Go join Ghost Plus. We also do some live ghost shows that I think we might stop posting the live shows for the for the plebs, for the masses. I don't know. We're going to talk about it. We have some ideas in mind, but it'd be kind of fun to do just some live shows just for those folks. If Patrick has the time.
Oh, and always. Space and the always. Will. Lots
oh, of time. Yeah. Always lots of time. Yeah, yeah. So go join Ghost Plus. It's free for 7 days. Try it out. Go check it. We have a fucking big archive of stories of ghosts and also the Smith Show over there. So in other stuff. So go check it out. And it's isthisghost.com/ghostplus, all one word. Please think about it. It would be great. We're poorer than we would like to be. And that could help. Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. The notes this week are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Guy Valonis, Sam Murdoch, and Jennifer Jones. Our merchandise is from Fox and Quill Studio. Go follow them on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. They do great work. And this has been another episode that's been, I would say, pretty great. And if I have one piece of advice for you, it's to stay out of nature altogether. Mm-mm. Stay in, go in, just stay inside.
Thick walls.
Not just on the northwest, maybe also southeast, maybe also connecting. Stay inside, play video games all day, or else we might be talking about you on the next episode of Is This a Ghost?